This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. The rains of California, the snows of California, dominating the news for weeks, not just in California, but nationally, because unusual compilation of huge snowfalls with drenching rainfall after 3 years or more of drought in California. Helping me understand what this means, on again, then off for 3 years, and then on again, is Devin Nunes, a veteran of the Central Valley, the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system. These last weeks, Devin's been helping me understand the drought, the man-made shortage, and the rains, and the snowfall, the snow melt to come. Devin, a very good evening to you. Another rainstorm is now predicted for the valley and for all of California, a heavy rainstorm, including snow in the Sierras. There are various estimates, but it's another river they call the atmospheric river, this one from Hawaii, the Pineapple Express. The last time we talked, you were watching Success Lake and Kaweah Lake, the two lakes that are critical to the farms around you. Did they hold during the week, and what shape are they in? Good evening to you.
Great to be with you, John. And yes, the good news is that the storm that I was worried about last week ended up being a normal rainstorm, but both Lake Kaweah and Lake Success were able to hold the water behind their dams. And since that time, they're continuing to let out. Lake Kaweah is still continuing to let out very high levels. Lake Success has dropped down just a little bit, still high levels. And that water is flowing out to what's called the Old Tulare Lake Basin. And these, but for now, I guess the main thing is there's been enough space created in the dams, in the lakes, and behind the dams and the lakes themselves. Unlike where we were last week when we spoke, we were nervous that there was really no capacity left behind the dam. So a big storm would have resulted in effectively having no dam in place and uncontrolled floods. But for now, the water has subsided. And I think even at the level that the lakes are at now, even a big storm this week, outside of something that would be very, very unusual, the lake should be able to handle that. Now, the next big consequence, the consequential time, is going to be come April, late April, early May. And it won't be because of rainstorms. What it could be is because of high heat. So we're in a Mediterranean climate. Oftentimes when we get high levels of snow in the wintertime, so that means that it basically rains or snows between November and April. So we're coming up on April 1st, and then the snow begins to melt in the high country. And this is up, you know, near Mount Whitney, the tallest point in the continental United States, but all over the Sierra Nevada mountain range, where we have in some parts at least record snowfall for the last 40 years. The last big year was 1983, and we think at least in some parts that record was broke. So it will be challenging if, for example, let's say that we get a real early hot summer and it gets hot up in the high level of the Sierra Nevada mountain range, and that could melt the snow faster, that could cause these, you know, massive amounts of water to come down over, say, a 2 week period versus, you know, say kind of normal temperatures that we should be able to handle this water. I think once we get to about, if we have like a nice a normal spring and normal beginning or a late spring where we heat up and don't have anything unusual, everything should be fine and it's going to be beautiful. And there's going to be water that's going to run in the canals all the way through, in the irrigation canals, probably all the way through September, maybe even later. But if it gets real high heat, that could cause the next big flooding event outside of some strange rainstorm this week or next, which, you know, we're going to get more rain, but I don't think anyone's, they have all these fancy names for it now, John, Pineapple Expresses and what's the other one? Water bombs.
Rain train. That's the new one.
rain trains. Yeah. So I think everything for now is looking like it's going to be okay. But the Tulare Lake, which I know you want to talk about that.
So yeah, I do, Tulare because Lake, I didn't know it existed. Does it exist? Is it real?
Yeah. So what the Tulare Lake is that it's basically in the heart of Kings County, west of Tulare County. And it's really the Tulare Lake Basin. So you have to remember when California, before the dams were built in California, water would ebb and flow. And so, meaning like you come off of 3 years of drought, there'd be almost no water anywhere in the whole state for after 3 years of drought. In heavy wet years like this, you'd have uncontrollable flooding that would flood out, run out of the Sierra Nevadas, run out to what's called the Tulare Lake Basin, and then flowed out down towards Sacramento, and then out to the San Francisco Bay. What happened is a series of dams were built all over the state to really control for this type of flooding, to hold water in the wet years so that you would have water in the dry years. So everything's been highly regulated and controlled, and really it was the most sophisticated water system ever built, except when the politicians became ultra left and everything became about global warming, which meant that all normalcy went out the window. And now in the wet, heavy wet years, instead of storing water, holding it over, all the water gets released and runs out to the ocean. But before all that, you would have the Tulare Lake Basin. Now, lake is probably not the right term for it, because even at its high point, I think the deepest point it can possibly be, John, is like somewhere around 15, 20 feet. So it was more like it created marshes, marshland for, you know, what could be the summertime. And then by the wintertime, it would go down. The last time that the Tulare Lake Basin was significant was back in 1983. I should say back in 97, 98 also, but not like 1983, where you had hundreds of thousands of acres of farmland that essentially went under water at anywhere from, I remember I was a kid being out there and walking through fields that had been prepared to plant for summer crops, but they were full of water, say a foot or two deep of water. And that's what they're preparing for this year out in the Tulare Lake Basin, is that it's going to basically go back to what, you know, was probably periodically, if you go throughout history, you know, maybe 2-3 years out of every decade, you would have a slim kind of almost kind of a marshland that would be created. In fact, Tulare Lake is named for the tules that grew there. That the Indians used to call it Tulare, and that's where Tulare County and Tulare Lake come from. It was because of these marshlands that would grow these hard tules, and when they would dry, they would become just kind of hard, almost stick-like, that would happen after they would dry out after the summertime.
So this is what we here in New England call a wetland, a vast wetland, which is a transition from dry to wet, back to dry, to a forest, but you have a Mediterranean climate, so I won't press the analogy. Now, politics. This is within these last hours. California Governor Gavin Newsom announced the removal of some drought restrictions while keeping other measures to bolster water supply for vulnerable communities and develop water resilience. After a parade of atmospheric river storms pummeled the state and boosted water supply in recent months. Is that good news? Are you out of the drought, or my memory is the drought is legislator invented, nothing to do with the weather?
That's right, John. So if you remember a month ago, roughly on your show, as I was giving you kind of the play-by-play on this, I told you that even though we had all of this water, which normally would mean every acre could be farmed, I actually had to tell you that no, actually, we're going to need a few more storms, because we really have to get to almost catastrophic flood levels in order for there to be enough water. Now, historically, if you use the infrastructure that's been built over the last 100 years and you move the water around and move it through canals, John, we should have enough water, even if we went back into, say, 2 or 3 year drought, which is the norm, really, of what likely is going to happen. we would be fine for the next 2 to 3 years because all this water would be getting moved around. And I mentioned to you earlier that the canals will flow through September, maybe October, and that water can all be pumped and moved and stored and moved around. And it's beautiful when it works. And it used to work great back in the 1980s. But starting in the 1990s, after a slew of lawsuits, you will watch all this water is going to get let go down to the ocean. And if we turned around next year and say that we went back and had maybe, say, a real abnormal dry year, we could be right back into drought a year from today, where farmers who can't farm this year because maybe some of their ground is going to be flooded may not farm next year because they may not have any water. And that is all because of the Democrats in Sacramento who have fought every step of the way my entire career in the federal government, that I fought to build three new, to actually raise a dam, build a new dam, and build a couple different ways to reservoirs. That's all we really had to build, and then just use the pumping systems. And California could probably double population and farm every single acre that there is in California to farm. But because the environmental groups have opposed all this, we're just in a situation of a man-made chronic drought, even though here we are in what is the wettest year since 1983.
The article in CNN about the governor's announcement of some lifting of some areas under drought conditions includes this paragraph way deep into the story. Scientists say human-caused climate change has increased the potential for this weather whiplash, where dramatic shifts in periods of drought and high rain and snow can occur more often, particularly in California. The reason I emphasize that is because you have educated me for quite some time that California goes through cycles, as we do here in New England. You have 7 years of drought, 7 years of wet. It's a proverb. You tell that proverb. But now your swing from drought to rain back to Mediterranean climate is being said to be man-made, matching, of course, your explanation that the drought itself was man-made because of weather, water legislation. Is this a debate in California, or is the legislature comfortable with saying it's climate change, we can do nothing?
Basically, John, that's the bottom line. The left has long been against farming, long been against agriculture. We've been under attack since I was just a boy, and that attack continues. Now, let's talk about facts, and we've talked about this before on your show, but I can maybe expand on it just a little bit. And that is that we have the giant sequoia trees that are up in the many of them, the oldest living things in the world or close to it. Some live, there's some up there that are well over 2,000 years old. And when the founding fathers of our state in the late 1800s, early 1900s, they began to design. They were, at that time, sadly, they were cutting down many of these old trees, and which thankfully, that's one of the things that the environmental movement was supposed to stand for, which is, hey, we probably shouldn't cut down these beautiful old 2,000-year-old trees. We ought to protect some of these forests. And, that's what I call the true environmentalists, which are the people like live in the San Joaquin Valley, that worked in the Sierra Nevada mountain range, where we used to have logging and we used to have this vibrant timber industry, and it was done in order to protect these beautiful living trees. And then you would control the water. You'd make sure that every acre could be farmed. And it really created for this real beautiful, pristine environment that really man was able to control to get through a lot of the cycles that Mother Nature gives you. I tell you that story because the rings that are in those trees that they've studied over the years, when they went to design the water system, they knew that if they designed it to withstand 5 years of drought, that there was only a few times in over a 1,000-year history that they could tell that it went over a 5-year drought. And in fact, in my lifetime, we've never had more than a 5-year drought. And in fact, I'm not even sure that we've had 5 years of really bad drought. And so the whole concept here that somehow this is climate change is just utter nonsense. 100 years ago, the people who designed the water system in California so that California could become the fastest growing state for many, many years, that it was supposed to be home to some 45 million people that's now in a population decline. 100 years ago, they knew exactly what they needed to do. They knew exactly how to build it. They knew exactly what they had to withstand for, which was 5 years of drought. And John, almost like clockwork, we came out of a 3-year bad drought, and boom, we get a wet year. And that's why there's nothing unusual about these weather patterns that's occurred that I can tell. I mean, look, if it somehow started to just rain continually, John, is, you know, coming in April should be our last storms. You know, every once in a while we'll get just a random storm in May, but then it truly becomes the Mediterranean climate that makes the San Joaquin Valley the breadbasket of the solar system, that lets it grow some 300 different crops. It turns into bright sun, heat, blue skies. And that's what should happen. If that doesn't happen, John, then, you know, you might, you know, if we get rain every day in May, June, and July, I'll say, well, I haven't seen that yet in, you know, our, you know, hundreds of year history that is pretty well documented.
We're turning to another crisis, another man-made crisis. This one, not only in the United States and in California and in every other state with a regional bank, but also in Europe right now. The question of banks, are they stable? Are they trustworthy? Devin Nunes is the CEO, the guru of Truth Social, where they practice the First Amendment nonchalantly. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.